Praise God. Psalms chapter 119, verse number 165. Psalms 119, 165. Amen. Pastor kind of took me by surprise. I will say that I was bringing my complaint before him on Wednesday night. I was whining and crying, and after I was done whining and crying, he said, "Oh, yeah, by the way, can you preach Sunday morning?" I said, "Do what?" I wanted to say, "Are you crazy? After what I just said, you're supposed to say, man, you ain't getting on that platform for a year. You crazy, man." Amen. No, it wasn't that bad. Well, it kind of was, but amen. God has a great sense of humor. Amen. And he knows how to deal with us. Amen. Amen. And so I asked him, I said, "Do you want me to continue on the subject of offense?" And he said, "I want you to do what you feel in the Holy Ghost." And so I'm going to do just that this morning. I want to obey God. Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to obey God. And thus, I feel very good and confident in the Lord today. Amen. I don't have any confidence in this flesh. This flesh is a mess. Amen. Maybe yours isn't, but mine is. Amen. But there's something about getting in the presence of God that just helps that silly old flesh of ours. Amen. Psalms 119, verse number 165 said, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they which love thy law. You're holding your Bible today, or maybe it's on your phone or your tablet. Amen. But great peace have they which love thy law. Amen. And nothing shall offend them. You say, "Well, I don't know about that." That almost, that's a hard thing to reckon with, isn't it? Amen. Because we all want to say we love the law of God, but yet we deal with offense often. Turn your Bible quickly to Luke chapter number 17, verse number 1. Luke 17 and 1. Luke 17 and 1. Says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him. I'm going to stop right there. And we're going to pray one more time, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter number 24. Amen. Dear Jesus, we come humbly before you, submitting ourselves, our minds, our thoughts, bringing every thought into captivity for you to work with us, for you to touch us, for you to help us, for you to strengthen us. You lead and guide us, God. We're depending upon you today. God, we are nothing. We are nothing without you. You make the difference in our life. And I pray that the word have its will and way in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. As you're turning, as you're seated, turn to Matthew 24. One more setting of scripture. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 10. Matthew 24 and verse number 10. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because," everybody say because. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." This is an endurance race. This is an endurance race. And so, for the lack of a title or whatever. I know we're going to preach and teach and talk about offense, but I'm going to just subtitle this Mass Offense. Mass Offense. His disciples, in verse number 3 of that same chapter, asked the question, what will be the sign of your coming? What's going to be the sign of your return? And he answers with this, many will be offended. Not a few, not some, not a couple, but many. We're talking about mass offense. And I think it is worthy for us to take a moment and ask the question, who are the offended? Who are the many that he is talking about? Are they Christians in general? Are they general society? Who is he referring to? I believe that the answer is right there. We find the answer as we continue to read. And the scripture said, because lawlessness or iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax or grow cold. The love of many. I don't believe that we are talking about the general population or society. I believe that Jesus is talking about the church. So we can't point now, I will say that when we look on the outside of the church, we do see mass offense. You can't hardly say anything anymore without somebody being offended. Without somebody getting their feelings hurt, without somebody throwing a temper tantrum, it's a mess. But the problem is that when mass offense gets into the church, and the reason why I say that is because when we look at the words that are used here, the Greek word for love in this specific verse is agape. Amen. It's agape love. There are several Greek words for love in the New Testament, but the two most commonly used words for this is agape love and phileo love. Phileo love, and you've probably already heard this and you know this. If you haven't, well, this will be good for you. Put it in your memory bank and understand that there's difference in just because the Bible said love, you need to understand which love he's talking about. And who he is addressing. A lot of times we read our Bible, and it's good just to read our Bible, but we need to stop and study it. The Bible tells us to study. Amen. And they that were at the Bereans were more noble than they because they searched the scripture daily as whether it be so. Amen. And so it's not just reading our Bible, but it's understanding it. The phileo defines a love that is found among friends. It is an affectional love that is, listen, conditional. It's conditional. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You love me, I'll love you. You treat me good, I'll treat you. But with that type of love, if you treat me dirty, I'm going to get you back. All right, that's phileo love. And there's a lot of that, and we will dig in a little bit deeper into the scripture here in a minute. But on the other hand, this agape love is the love that God has shown to us as his children, which is unconditional. These are the two things that we need to recognize and understand, that there's a conditional love, phileo love, and there's a agape love that is a unconditional love. And so he says in that setting that many, the love, the agape love, the love of God, the unconditional love is going to wax cold or grow cold. Now, without God, we can only love selfishly. I'm going to tell you right now, some of us will end up being offended before the end is over. Nevertheless, I'm not going to try to offend you, but the word can be abrasive. I'm not going to try to offend you, but rather what I want to do is challenge you today. I want to challenge the way that we think. I want to challenge the way that we act. Amen. Amen. And so this agape love is the love that Jesus gave to us when he shed his blood and he forgave us of our sins. So the many here Jesus is referring to are Christians or believers, and that their love has grown cold. I've tried to love certain people. Has anybody ever tried to love somebody before and they just don't love you back? Some of you are okay to raise your hand. Others of you... I think we probably all have tried to love somebody and not received that love back. This agape love is the love that Jesus gave. Remember that, all right? And often to my dismay, when I've tried to give that love and it's not returned, I become offended. And so do you. Because when we give our love away, we expect it to be returned. We expect it to be reciprocating. But that kind of love is phileo love. So we need a revelation of agape love. What it is to love like God loved. He loved unconditionally. And those that I have tried to love, and I believe that I'm talking to enough people because of humanity, that it is not unique to anybody. It's definitely not unique to me, nor to you, but every one of us have experienced this, that we try to love somebody, and they in turn slander us. Stab us in the back. Talk behind our back. Treat us ill. Huh? And we thus have complained to God. At least. And we've complained probably to somebody else. And we've said, I've tried to love them, but they won't love me back. Well, try a different love. Do what? Do what? Through this interaction that I've had with people that don't love me back, I have realized that I have lacked understanding. I'm lacking understanding here. I want to blame it on the person that is not giving me love back. However, I was lacking understanding of the true love of God. It wasn't their fault. It was my fault. I lacked understanding. And in this, I realized just how amazing God's love really is. Now, here's something revelatory that I want to share with us here today. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 8. Galatians number 6, chapter number 6, verse number 8. The scripture said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Now we all understand the principle of reaping and sowing. Because many of us have said when we have been offended, you're going to reap what you sow. Now, I'll say that's not the love of God. I'll set that record straight right now. But the word says it. It does. But he loved us unconditionally. And so while we, my God have mercy, while we point our finger and say, you're going to reap what you sow, God's going to get you. We better be very, very careful. Because we're saying, God, get me. Because with what love you meet, it shall be meted unto you again. That's a principle. With what mercy you meet, it shall be meted. With what grace you meet, it shall be meted unto you again. It's a principle. You can put any word there. With what judgment you mete out, you're going to be judged with the same judgment. So I changed the word, and I know I did, but it's all I did that's the same principle. With what love you meet, you're going to be met with again. Oh, Lord. Oh. Verse 9 said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, in proper time, we shall reap if we faint not. Now, in this verse, we gain insight into one of God's greatest spiritual laws. And it's only the tip of the iceberg. It's a lot bigger than what you and I can actually see. Because Jesus is our greatest example. Let's learn from him. Shall we do that? Amen. His greatest hour of need. Jesus' greatest hour of need. He pleads to his disciples to pray with him. And they fall asleep. His greatest time of need. He is fixing to step into a whole new dimension and going to be prepared to be beaten, to be mocked, to be crucified, all of those things. And he's needing some help. And he is being forsaken. And they're falling asleep while he was preaching. Oh, yeah. They were falling asleep while he was in his greatest need. And his closest friends deserted him. And Judas betrayed him of all things with a don't we say you need to kiss and make up? You've been in a fuss and a fight, and that's the best part about being in a fight, is you get to kiss and make up. Well, not really, because I don't get in a fight, I still kiss and make up. I don't need nothing to make up, I just kiss and have fun while I'm doing it. Because it's love. I'm softening up my targets right now. I'm softening up my targets with a little bit of love. Amen. My Lord have mercy. Sometimes I wish I had blinders and I just was blind and I couldn't see your faces and expressions at times. So Judas betrays him. Peter denies him. Everyone flees that was around him except for John. And even John followed him from afar. After years of caring, nurturing, teaching, helping, blessing, all these, loving them unconditionally, they desert him. Yet he still goes to Calvary and dies for them. And what's even more amazing is he dies for that Roman soldier that pierces his side. The one that does not, absolutely does not have any reciprocating feeling here. May I remind you that none of these really asked for this kind of forgiveness. He was already forgiving before they even asked for it. Man, I could preach right there to some of y'all. You are holding things in your life that God's already forgiven you for. It's already been wiped off your record, but you got up this morning and you began to think about how you backslid 5 years ago. You need to forgive yourself and move on. I could stop there and preach, because I'm going to tell you, he's already forgiven it. You keep on dwelling on the fact that you messed up. You keep talking about that you messed up. Come on, somebody. Forgive yourself, because he's already forgiven you. Hallelujah. So Jesus received no love in return, but he knew what he had sown. Listen to me, what he had sown in the Spirit. In the Spirit, he had sown in love. And he knew that he would reap in love in due season. And I am an active participant in him reaping in due season. I am. He did that way back on Calvary, but today he's still reaping the benefits of his unconditional love in which he had sown. That's why Galatians 6 is a revelation. He sowed to the Spirit. He sowed this in love, in an unconditional love. And sometimes we don't understand how all of that works. But let me tell you, it's going to come back in due season. You can love that person, but if you understand what real love of God is, you won't be offended when it's not reciprocated, because you're sowing to the Spirit. You're sowing in love in the things of the Spirit, and in due season, you will reap. If you faint, if you don't get weary, if you faint not, and you don't get weary, just keep loving. I said, just keep loving. But I'm not getting, it doesn't matter if you don't get anything in return. You got to keep loving as God loved. I got to love unconditionally. Just keep sowing. Just keep sowing, because you will reap. Amen. Amen. I have lived for God long enough to understand that I may be sowing in a certain field and not necessarily reap from that field. But I may reap from a different field. I may reap from a different situation that I didn't even know. Because God's principles, his law, is true. Now, it's not your love that you're giving anyways. It's God's love that you're giving. And it's never wasted when you give away God's love. That's why it's important for us as the saints of God to understand the difference between phileo love and agape love. Because I got to give the love of God away that is unconditional in order to be like him. And if I don't get a hold of that, and I only operate in the realm of phileo love, I am going to live in a continual state of offense. All right? Let's build a little bit more, shall we? It is. I understand, first of all, that it is much harder to do than just say this. It's easy to talk about it, but it's much harder to do. And I promise you, I have not come to the fullness of perfection. Matter of fact, I'm weak in this area. And I'm constantly reminded, God, I gotta love like you loved. Man, that's hard, Brother Josh. Some people make it very hard to love them. You know who I'm talking about. You got that family member. You got that brother. You got that sister. You got that mom, that dad, that grandparent. You got that one in the church that it's hard to love them. and you struggle with it all the time. I can remember as a young man, I washed the same guy's feet every single year for about 10 years until I finally said, I've had enough of this. This isn't his problem. This is my problem. We're getting ready to have foot washing and communion. I thought that might be a good one. Didn't go over very well, but it's still the truth anyhow. Huh? And it doesn't, now hear me, it doesn't matter. That's not just, you know, and this is what I had to come to realization. I don't just go, I did for a long time just go to the one that always was offending me and wash their feet. Because I was trying to get myself in subjection and humility and serving my brother by doing this. Boy, it was making me mad every time I did it. Well, sorry, I'm too real. I apologize. None of y'all ever felt like that. But I had to get my spirit right. We always are expecting it from somebody else to do it. But it's you and I that have to do it. Amen. Let's quickly turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Man, I like that scripture. Let's just stay there. Oh, man. Come on, pastor. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Seriously? Do good to them that hate you. And pray. No, come on now. Now you just pushed the envelope too far. Because these are just words on a page. But my question is, are we doing it? Because this is Christian character. Woo, doggies. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children, all of us want to be the children, of our Father which is in heaven. But you can't be one of his children because his children don't do this. It says that ye may be. Don't do these things that you may be. So if you do, you're not acting like your father. Ouch, man. This is miserable preaching, isn't it? For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if, everybody say if. If that means you got a choice. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even publicans do the same? Let me tell you, brother and sister, it's easy to love some of you, but that's not what God's looking for. He wants to see how you love the one that's hard to love. Because publicans and sinners love each other. Phileo love. But he wants to see how you treat the one that is the most difficult to get along with. Man, that's good Bible. Even if it is hard. 47 said, and if ye salute your brother only, what do ye more than others? Hey, gangbangers, they throw signs at each other. What's up, man? Right? So what's the difference? What's the difference? Praise the Lord, Brother Hunter. Man, it's so good to see you. You know what that is? I'm proving a point here that you haven't done anything yet. Ouch. You haven't even started loving really yet because sinners do that to one another. Man, it's easy for me to do that because I love some of you. And some of y'all just quit. Who doesn't he love? Who doesn't he love? I did that just to put you on edge. That's all. I love you. Amen. Even if you don't love me. And you're probably not going to love me after this. But that's okay. I'm still going to love you anyhow. Be ye therefore. What did it say, Elder? Perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What does that word perfect mean? It means be thou of full maturity. Be grown up. Be fully developed, mentally, morally complete. In other words, in order to be perfect, which I am imperfect, but I'm striving for perfection, I'm trying to be a big boy. I'm trying to grow up and be mature. And just because you don't love me back, part of maturity is I'm going to love you anyways. Whether you love me or not. I'm going to do good to you whether you do good back to me. Because I understand what agape love really is. If we're honest with ourselves, this certainly is not the type of love that we walk in daily. Nevertheless, I believe that if more of us tried, the more we would be free from offense. I said a lot right there. I said a lot right there, and I'm trying to help you. If we walked in this type of love on a daily basis, amen. Oh, the offenses would just melt away. Because I'm not, I want to be perfect as my Father. I want to love unconditionally. You know, it had to hurt so deeply for Jesus to be betrayed with a kiss. It had to hurt beyond measure to be denied. When Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny. No, I'm not going to deny you. Peter, you're going to deny. No, I'm not. No. Okay. And then to see that he did just that. Blankety blank blank, I don't know him. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Oh, no. Oh. But there was an unconditional love. And this is just me. I kind of see that Jesus is over there and Peter looks towards him and Jesus gives him a big old wink. And it wasn't a wink of, I told you so. It was, I love you anyways. Because all of us, we got this persona of God that he's sitting up there with a big stick and ready to beat us down. Ready to destroy us. No, he's not happy with our sin. No, he's not. He's not happy with that at all. And as Pastor already said, do we continue in sin just because grace is there? No, God forbid we don't do that. But he said, gotcha. I got you. I told you. I prayed for you that your faith would fail not. I got you. Oh, man. What a love. After cussing and saying, I don't know him. He had to cuss to go back to his old ways to prove to somebody else that he didn't know him. What a slap in the face. Wasn't loving at that point, now was he? When we walk in a selfish love, we become easily offended when our expectations are not met. Please, please hear me today. If I require expectations too high from others to meet, it doesn't hurt them. It hurts me. And how do I fix it? I have to lower my expectation. or else I risk being offended. But if I lower my expectation, I have less of a chance to be offended. Can you imagine how low Jesus Christ had to lower his expectation for failed humanity? My Lord have mercy. Made me want to crawl under a rock, not the pew. I want to go way down under. Because it really brings a bright light on us and says, whoa, wow, what kind of love is that? If you want to annihilate the risk of being hurt, learn this. Embrace this. And it's hard. And it takes work. It takes effort. It takes you having to talk yourself through it from time to time, because it isn't easy to love everybody. But if I have the DNA of my Father, I am going to work diligently to love unconditionally. Oh, Jesus, help us today. Help us today. We set ourselves up for offense when we expect a certain behavior from certain ones. Remember this today. The closer we are to somebody, the more we expect. Therefore, the greater risk of offense. That's why there's so much domestic violence in our world, because it's those that are living together, closest together, that are offended. Sexual abuse happens in homes more than anywhere. Oh, yeah. There's an offense in places of close relationship. Now, I'm not trying to make you very uncomfortable, but there's some things you need to deal with, because some of you are offended over things that happened many, many years ago. And you can't get beyond that offense and understand the real love of God. And you want to... I already got you right there. Boom. You want to say, I love God, but I don't have to love them. And that's the problem. And that's the problem. Because if you don't forgive them, I know you just said it. I forgave them. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And here's how I know you didn't. Because here's a secret that I just learned recently that rocked my world, and I want to share it with you. And I will not say that I know it and I have it completely adapted to my life, Brother Josh. I haven't, okay? But I did get it, and I started working on it. I got another tool in my toolbox. You ever like getting new tools, brother?
No, because then you have to work.
Ouch, that one hurt. Ouch. Man, I just got a double barrel shotgun. He said no because I have to work. And then Pastor says, you'll get that one of these days. Both barrels. Now, I love you guys, and I'm going to make a choice not to be offended. Now, Brother Wurst, I believe that there was a day in your life then that you loved tools. Uh-huh. And when you got a new one, you were like, oh, I can't wait to use it, right? Now, there's some tools that do cause you to work. And this is one of those tools that cause you to work. Amen. This is how I know that you haven't forgive them, because you cannot do it like Jesus did. Because Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, I got your excuse again. You want to say, oh, but they knew what they were doing. That's not the point. The point is, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for until you get to the place that you can say, God, I forgive them to the degree, listen to me, I want you to forgive them to the degree that you wipe it away from their record. And that in judgment day, you will not call me as a witness against them. But they hurt me. I didn't negate the fact that the hurt is real. I didn't negate the fact that what you went through was real and it was offensive and it hurt you and it damaged you emotionally, physically. It messed you up and you're dealing with it today. But until you get to the place that I can forgive them the way Jesus forgave them and said, I'm going to wipe that record clean. I'm not going to hold it to their charge until you can say, Lord, I do not want you to hold this against them. You got to be real enough. Oh, God have mercy. Man, this feeling good right now. Hallelujah. I'm in so much hot water, I'm boiling. Woo, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you. I told you this before. I've been molested. I was molested for 2 years. I remember every detail. But I forgave. Because I know today that if that individual walked through those doors, I would say, God, and some of y'all are looking at me like you're like, if they walked through these doors, I'd run right out of them. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We've got to get over that. We've got to be healed. We've got to be healed. We've got to be healed. We need some healing on the inside. I'm not saying that may not be the right response to get out of there because it scared you to death and you don't want to deal with it. But I'm telling you, that if we come to that place and we start to deal with it, God can heal you like none other. But you've got to forgive. And part of that forgiveness is saying, God, hold it not to their charge. And that's hard. That's difficult. That's not easy. You're going to have to work at that. You're going to have to talk to yourself about that one for a while. You're going to have to take some time after this message and you're going to think about it throughout the week because I'm digging up some old wounds. I'm digging up some old wounds, but they are preventing you from becoming all that you can be in God. They are preventing you from loving like God intended you to love. God wants you to have so much more because, oh, you want to be able to shout and you, but there's always this reservation. There's always this place that you're holding back because of the wound. And you've got to get over that offense. Oh, great peace have they which. Do you love the word today? Say, well, you're saying some things that are really upsetting me. I'm telling you, the word of the Lord is right. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. God, this is hard. This is difficult. But help me to learn how to embrace this. I have got to love like you love. Help us, Jesus. So now, because of this offense, because of the damage that was done to you as a young child, or maybe the damage that was done to you as an adult by a spouse or by a parent, And because of this offense and because of this massive hurt, this gaping wound in your life, you have learned how to build a wall. Good for you. You learned how to build a wall because you said, I'm going to protect myself so nobody can ever, ever hurt me again. Nobody can get in. But guess what the problem is? When you build that kind of wall, you stop the Spirit from flowing as well. Because God's not going to come through that wall of offense. And that's why you struggle to have victory and keep the victory. You'll get a little taste of it, but then you go, oh no, I can't be hurt. Oh no, I can't let my wall down. I got to protect myself. I got to keep a certain persona. I got to make everybody think that everything's all right with me. Let me tell you something today. We are all broken people. I don't care how pretty you think you are and how well put together you've been and how you want to make everybody perceive that your world is great. We are broken people. And we need a Savior that said, I have come to bind up the brokenhearted. I came. That's what I came here for. Now you see, so you build up the wall. You built this wall up because you're offended. And I got to protect myself, right? Well, let me give you a little scripture. Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 19. Proverbs 18 and 19 said, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like bars of a castle. Guess what? A castle has walls built around it. Has a moat. Oh yeah, you already dug your moat too. You didn't just put your walls up. You dug your moat and you put a whole bunch of alligators in there. You got alligators all swimming around there because you don't want nobody. And it said, an offended brother is harder to win. Brother Hunter? The truth of the matter is, I will have more success in winning the entire city of Augusta than winning you when you become offended. Do you think that we're not in trouble with offense in the church? Because an offended brother is harder to win than a strong city. If it's easier for me to win the entire city of Wichita than to gain back this confidence and this trust of my brother, we're in trouble. So what is that? What should that do? It ought to put me on high alert, on extreme caution. I got to love my brother unconditionally. I got to make sure I take care of business. I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to hurt them. Because they'll be harder to win than you. There's things that of your past, things that have happened in churches, whether you're from originally from here or from yonder, that you have been so offended. You say, but I'm still living for God. Yeah. With this big old gaping wound. Yeah, you're still living for God, but you look like a zombie. Yeah. Because you got all these wounds all over you that are infected Why not allow the healing balm of Gilead to come in and let some anointing, let the anointing of the Spirit of God come in and start to heal some of those places? I'm telling you, we're living in the last days, and Jesus said there's going to be mass offense. And if we're going to grow, as pastor's vision is of growth, there can't be any offense here. We're going to have to deal with it right away. If I feel, man, I don't want no problems. Hey, brother, I want you to forgive me. Well, forgive you for what? Hey, let's be real. We all step on each other's toes. Let's be real. But, oh, I'm sorry. I did it on purpose, but you know what I mean. Huh? Let's make it right quick. Let's get it back in order quick, because we cannot risk a brother to be offended. We got to get it back together quick. Quick, quick. Oh God, it's easier. It's easier to win an enemy than one of my brothers. That scares me to death. I want you to think about that for a moment. Let that sink in. When we begin to construct walls to safeguard our hearts and prevent any future wounds, we do ourselves a disservice. We can't go on like this. We become very selective and deny entry to anyone that we have the slightest indication that they may hurt us. We filter out everyone we think owes us something when we're offended. We withhold access until these people that have hurt us pay their debt in full, and then still hold them at arm's length. By the way, that's holding a grudge. And some of us, I don't even know some of you, but I just got a feeling, because I know humanity, some of us are professional grudge holders. You're a professional grudge holder. You're still holding a grudge against your spouse. And you're holding them. You're still holding a man, if I had a pen, I'd drop it, because you'd hear that louder than what I'd anything else. Huh? Oh, you've got a grudge as big as the state of Texas. And you're going to hold on to it, bless God, until they pay. Because they did me dirty. And so you go on living miserable. Don't tell me I'm miserable. You're miserable. That's offensive. I know. It's time to step forward and move on and let God heal you. Yes. You can do this. Yeah, right. Yes, you can. Yeah. And you've got others that are rooting for you. That want to do that, that want you to do that. Say, well, nobody knows about my deal. We don't need to know about your deal. Right. We don't need.
Am I taking too much liberty? If I'm taking too much liberty, just pull my coattail and tell me to sit down and shut up.
Please. I'm just feeling like we're going to take care of all kinds of little fun stuff today. We got people that we've got to win. There's lost souls that must be saved. But I'm going to tell you what. We can't do it if we're walking around with all these gaping wounds. You want to know why? Because those gaping wounds of offense will infect the new ones. And in order for us to have healthy babies, we have to be healthy. If mama ain't healthy, the babies ain't going to be healthy. I got to be healthy in my relationships. My relationships with you, with one another, we have to be healthy. We got to have healthy, vibrant relationships because they're going to feel it. As Pastor has already said, I'm just walking in the vein that Pastor opened up to. That's all. That person that walks in the door, they'll feel it. They'll feel your offense. They'll feel the tension. They'll feel the anxiety. They'll feel all of that. Yes, sir, they sure will. Pastor, I hope this doesn't make your phone ring. I don't want your phone. Laughter doeth good like medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Oh, Jesus, help us. We often want people. Here's another step. You're ready for this? Here's another thing I want to do. I'm going to close here in just a moment. Okay? I'm going to close here in just a moment. This is something else I want you to think about. Offended people always want to get somebody else on their side. We want an ally. We want an ally. That's what offended people do. Be careful. I'm offended. Okay? We got to deal with it. And dealing with it is not trying to get somebody else on your side. Because most of the time, the person that you get on your side is also offended. Now you got double trouble. Now it's even a bigger issue because now it's not just you that's offended. You. The problem is, and Pastor and I have talked about this many times, problem is we want to make our enemies everybody else's enemy. We want to make our problems everybody else's problems. And that's so childish. That's not very mature. That's not very mature in Christ. Say, I don't want you to be friends with him. You know what he did to me? Oh, you did it to you too. Yeah. Well, let's go talk to Marcus about that. You get him on your side, and you just keep on stirring the pot. You got to be careful not to take that offense and get somebody else on your side, because the fact is they're going to be more than likely going to be offended as well. And then what do? You say, hey, why don't you help me stack stones on my wall? Oh, sure, yeah, we'll make this wall higher. And we'll just keep on building it higher. And what happens when the Spirit of God wants to move, can't move. And you wonder why God can't touch you. You know how I know this? Because I have built so many walls. And Lord have mercy, Pastor, I have had to tear down a lot of them. And I look at that and I go, man, what a waste of time and energy. What a waste of time and energy and effort and materials and resources. What I could have been that was constructive was destructive. Because I built up a resistance. Oh, Jesus, help us, God. I want to be healed. I want to be healed. I want my mind to be healed. I want my heart to be healed. I want to be healed in every aspect. Amen. Without our knowing when it happened, these walls of protection begin to now not act as protection, but they act as your prison. What a shame. Isn't that amazing that your mind thinks you are protecting yourself, but what you are doing is creating your own prison? The focus of offended saints and preachers is inward, introspective, and you guard everything. You guard your rights. You guard your relationships carefully. And your energy is consumed with making sure there's no future injury. But let me tell you something today, that if you don't risk being hurt, you can't give unconditional love. Because it hurts to give unconditionally. It hurts because people are going to assume things wrongly about you. They're going to say things about you that are so far from the truth. And it's all you tried to do was love them. But keep loving them. Keep doing what Jesus would do. Now, I know many of us are gagging right now. Our gag reflex is strong. We don't want to eat this. We don't want to take it. We don't want to digest it. And you may not be able to digest it entirely right now. Because God opened up some things. But let me tell you something. There's not been a more convenient time than right now to deal directly and deeply with these issues of offense than right now of living in the last days. We are living in the last days. And I don't want my love to wax cold. Because I'm gonna reverse engineer that scripture, because when my love waxes cold, there's a lot of other things that just take over. Amen. Amen. The Bible said that love does not seek its own. Doesn't seek its own. Love doesn't have to be right. There's something about a mature saint of God that when somebody wants to sit there and argue, that a mature saint of God will just shut their mouth and not argue about it. And they realize later, when you don't argue about it and you don't fuss about it, they realize later themselves, as they take all of those things, because their mind is working, they're like, you know what? They didn't say anything back. And that's being more like Jesus than anything. He answered them not a word. I got to be like him. And man, it's hard. I'm going to tell you what, it's hard. But I want to be perfect like my Father in heaven. But I've got to deal with some hard issues. I got to deal with some hard issues in my life. I got to deal with those offenses. I've got to deal with those pains. I got to deal with it. I heard this said the other day, and it was just, the problem is real. The situation is real. The hurt is real. All those things are real. But the problem is mine now. I have to deal with it. And you're never going to be able to go beyond in the things of God if you don't quit playing the blame game. Is all you're doing is prolonging your pain. And I don't think any of you want to hurt any longer. Love doesn't seek its own. But hurt people become more and more self-seeking, self-contained. And in this climate, the love of God waxes cold. Now, I want to say this in closing. Sister Cowan, or whoever's supposed to play, please come. When we filter everything through past hurts and rejections and difficult experiences, it is almost impossible to believe God for the miraculous. It is almost impossible to trust God. Here's why. Because you're using the filter of all of your pain, of all of your hurt, of all of the rejection, of all of the uncomfortable things, and you are putting God there. And there's some of us, not all, but there's some of us. Here's one more thing. I want to help somebody here. You have blamed God because you know the Word of God. And the Word said things like this. I knew you from your mother's womb. And you're like, well, God, if you knew this was going to happen to me, why did you let it happen? And so you're mad and offended at God as well. And you're never going to have full victory, peace, and joy until you forgive God.
But that wasn't fair. Why did God let that happen?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And you're trying to justify everything so you can still be mad at God. Because he allowed it to happen in your life. He allowed that hurt. He allowed that molestation. He allowed that divorce. He allowed that person to beat you up. He allowed this. He allowed that verbal abuse. He allowed all that thing to happen. And you're mad at God. Come on. This morning, you need to forgive God. As we were singing that song, and I know it's too fast to sing right now, but oh, Pastor, when we start singing that song, by and by, when the morning comes, we'll understand it better by and by. You see, the reason why you did go through those things is to make you into a better person. I never thought that I would say, I am so thankful. This sounds crazy. That I'm thankful I went through that time of molestation. You say, you've got to be crazy. You may think I'm crazy. But today, because of what God allowed in my life, I do not hold it to God's charge, but I can see the glory in it. I can see where God had his hand in it all. Because I could not preach to you today that today I'm not offended at God. Because God brought to pass something great in my life. And he taught me how to be healed. He taught me how to go and get beyond the pain and the suffering that was so real and so debilitating, so absorbing in my mind that I couldn't even already think straight. He helped me get beyond it to today. And I looked up where Paul said that I can speak to you because of the things that have happened. And so, God, help me. No, I know those things still hurt, and they still bother me. They don't bother me, but I mean, I'm still bothered by them, but they don't affect me like they used to because I've been healed. And God wants to take you beyond there because, listen to me, because there's somebody else that's been molested that only you are going to help. I believe that so strongly right now. I'm not going to be able to reach them. But because of the contact and the friendship that you have connected with them, you're going to be able to speak to them of your hurt and your pain as long as you're not still offended. As long as you're not still mad at God. As long as you're still not mad at the person that did it. But when you get real healing, you'll be able to tell somebody of God's grace, his mercy, and how it reached you in your vulnerability and your brokenness, and God healed you. I won't be able to reach them, but you will. That individual that's been suffering through that divorce that's been horrible and the broken home, the his kids, her kids, and their kids,
the young people that have to go through that. Maybe you're the one that has dealt with that broken home and you've had to suffer through those things. And you're mad at God because why did you let that happen in my home and break up my family? I'll tell you why. Because he had a bigger purpose. He had a bigger plan for you. And he loved you so much that he's going to use you through your brokenness, through your pain, through your disappointment, through your heartache. So, as you've forgiven that person, like God can only forgive. As you've forgiven yourself and as you've forgiven God, it's hard. But I got news for you. You can do this. Every eye closed right now. Right where you're at. And please, please, seriously, close your eyes. I've even got my eyes closed, okay? The only one that can open their eyes is Pastor. All right? I got my eyes closed. And I'm not going to look around. But can you be honest enough right now with yourself? You've got a hurt. You've got a wound. You've got an offense that you have been dealing with and dealing with and dealing with and dealing with. But today, I think of the scripture that says today is the day of salvation. Oh, I know you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and I know you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You even spoke in tongues this morning during prayer. But that still didn't take that hurt away. That still didn't deal with that offense that's so deep and that you've tried to cover up and you've tried to hide and you've tried to bury so deep. You say, Brother Newman, why would you do this? I thought I had it buried deep enough where it never come up again. That's the problem, is you, until you deal with it, you can't cover it up and cover it up, because it will never go away until you actually deal with it. Now, every eye closed. Still, can you be honest with yourself right now? And I want you to lift up your hand and say, that's me. That's me. I'm mad at my dad because he left me. It wasn't fair. I'm mad at my mom because she left me and it wasn't fair. Am I going to live in a broken home? My spouse left me and it wasn't fair. And it wasn't fair, and that hurt is deep. I want somebody here right now you've had an issue with certain people in the church, and it's an offense that's been so hard for you to get over. Come on. Come on right now. It's okay to be vulnerable right now. And I know some of you are going, no, not me, not me. Okay, I can't convince you. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now that, come on somebody, I take a sledgehammer right now and bust that wall down. Come on, bust that wall down! I know it wasn't fair. It wasn't right. There was nothing right about it, but come on, forgive him. Can you reach up and say, God, I want you to wipe their record clean. Oh, you say, oh, Brother Newman, I can't do that. You know what? I said the same exact thing. But I also got to a place where I went and I screamed out of the top of my voice. I screamed out their name. because something had to break. I didn't like the way I was feeling. I didn't like the frustration. I didn't like the anxiety. I didn't like the fear. I didn't like the doubt. I didn't like all of the emotions that fear was wrecking havoc on my life. And so I said, God, I want you to forgive them, and not just forgive them, wipe their record clean. Don't call me as a witness against them. I will not testify against them. I'm not negating your hurt. I'm not negating your pain, but I'm trying to get you to be healed in Jesus' name. I'm trying to get you to find healing in Jesus' name. He's coming to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are held captive. You're held captive by the walls that you built up. And I know what I'm doing, it's kind of embarrassing, and you don't want nobody to know. And I know some of you are going, well, I hear certain people crying, and but you know what? That's where you don't even need to be listening. You need to be thinking about your own situation, the pain. Come on, you're already thinking about all that pain. Now I want you to say, now, God, I know it wasn't fair. But don't hold it to their charge. And God, by the way, some of you that haven't forgiven God, come on, you can do this. Come on. Come on, go ahead. Those of you that you're mad at God, that wasn't fair. Come on, get your hand up there. Here it is, God. Here it is, God. Here it is. Come on. Play a little bit louder, Sister Sarah. If you're going to sing, go ahead and just sing a little bit. I want a little bit more background noise, because some of you got to start crying out right now. So when are you going to let me get to the altar? You can come to the altar anytime you want. I just know that sometimes we have to start dealing with certain amount of these things right where we're at. And it's okay to just stay right where you're at and just start to deal with it. Come on. Deal with that pain and let the tender hand of Jesus come on. I want you to see the hand of God reaching down right now and touching your heart. That wound that's there, I want you to see that his hand has some balm on it. It has some healing ointment on it. And he wants to put some ointment on that wound. Come on. Come on. He's wanting to heal that wound. Come on. It's time to let that offense go. It's time to let that wound be healed. It's time. Go ahead. Let it go. I can't. Yes, you can. The enemy tells you that you can't. But they've done it before, and they're going to do it again. And I'm going to tell you that when God heals you, they can poke and prod on that wound, and they ain't going to hurt no more, because his healing is complete. His healing is so powerful. It can completely heal that wound. I know you don't want certain names to be mentioned because it causes anxiety. It causes fear. It did me too. When I heard a certain name, it made me anxious. It made me uptight because I was offended. Of Jesus. Oh God, in the precious name of Jesus, the blood that you shed at Calvary unconditionally,
I want to embrace that kind of love, God. Come on, be honest with God right now. It's hard. I know it is. It's hard to do that.
God, come on, go ahead and be honest. God, I don't know that I can love them like that.
And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say that.
But God, here's the deal. I'm going to try. There you go. That's it, brother. That's it, sister. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to love them like you love them unconditionally. And I'm going to do my best.
Ooh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Break every